Hello, it's Larry Clark from Excelsi Music Publishing with another From the Composers series of podcasts. And today we're talking to composer Bruce Tippett. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Larry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to talk to you, and we're certainly very happy to have your music in our catalog. And so can you just start out by telling us briefly, you know, how you got into composition in the first place and a little bit of background?
Sure. So, well, first off, I am a composer. I'm also a pianist and an educator. I'm a church musician and vocalist. And I'm also a stay-at-home dad. I've got with two young kids. I'm here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I teach at the Community Music School at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts here in Winston-Salem. I teach piano. I have a children's chorus, and I also do adult music theory courses. So they kind of have me bouncing all around there. Mm-hmm. And then I also work at Augsburg Lutheran Church, which is in downtown Winston-Salem. So they have me kind of running all over the place, but I really enjoy it. I'm a former high school chorus director, but then I stopped and went back to school, and then my son was born, and I just kind of fell into the whole stay at home dad role, and I get to write with the kids around, and it works out really great. So I kind of started composing by accident, really. I guess I didn't really know that that's what I was doing. As a child, I was a member of the Raleigh Boy Choir, and my dad was volunteering as like their property manager. So he would go out and do certain things around the building, and he'd bring me along on some Saturdays, and there would be no one there, and there'd be this nice grand piano in the middle of the rehearsal space. And I had been taking piano for a couple years, and I would sit down and I'd just start goofing off at the piano. And I came into one of my piano lessons, and I guess I wasn't prepared, and
right.
It was like, so what have you been doing? I was like, well, I mean, I've been playing. Here's what I've been working on. And and he was like, did you come up with it? I was like, yeah. He's like, have you written it down? I was like, well, no, I just kind of remember it. So he encouraged me to write it down on paper. And I had I had a spiral bound composition notebook, and I wrote it down. I took him for what he said, and I wrote it all down. And you know, and this is something I do for my students now who come to me, and I've been goofing off on the piano. I was like, write it down. Right. So I showed him what I had written down, and without even telling me that this was what he was going to do, he took what I had written down on the manuscript paper and put it into the computer. And the next week he showed me, he was like, here's your music nicely printed. And I was just fascinated. And I was like, I want to do that. That's really cool. So I continued to write piano solos. That's really all I did, you know, because that was the only instrument I'd played. And so it wasn't until I got to high school, you know, I joined chorus and band, and I told my teachers that I wrote music, and it was mostly on the piano. And the band director, really, he was like, have you ever considered writing anything for the band? I was like, I don't really know how to do that. So he handed me some scores of things we had been playing in class, and I studied them and kind of saw what instruments played together and what their ranges were. And I just kind of took little notes on what I saw in the music, and I wrote a piece, and he was like, if you write us something, we'll play it. And they sure did. And it was an eye-opening experience. There's nothing like having your classmates tell you that, hey, this like doesn't work for us. Or the horn part was great, but the clarinets were super bored out of their minds, you know? So it was really cool. And I did the same thing for the chorus. I felt like I had a little bit better idea of what the chorus could do, since I had been a singer for several years at that point. Right. And I found that I always made my piano parts really, really difficult. I wanted to be the only one that to play them.
Right.
So
right.
I've since tried to refine how I think about my piano parts. I never considered doing it as a career. You know, for the longest time, I wanted to be an architect and build designs for homes and buildings, and that really never panned out. I ended up going straight into music school at the discretion of my music teachers in high school. But, you know, it wasn't really something I had considered, but I'm glad I reconsidered.
Well, you're now an architect. You're just a musical architect.
That's right. That's right. I like it.
Well, you mentioned obviously writing for a band and choir. And obviously today we're talking about one of your choir pieces, but do you write or have you been published for other mediums besides choir?
Yes. So my first composition that was published was a piano solo. It was a competition, and this was about, I guess 15 years ago now. I was still in college, and I was like, oh, the doors are open. But it was like another 9 years before another piece of mine got published. So, you know, that was okay. But I've done piano music, music for chorus and concert band. I've also done string orchestra and full orchestra. I've got some handbell arrangements published. I do conduct a handbell group at the church where I work, and I write them a lot of music, and I've had some things published that I've worked on for them. I've done trios, quartets. I helped co-write a children's musical. I've done a couple short films. I've done some electronic music for dancers, which is totally different than what I do in the concert setting. So I've really just tried to do a lot of different avenues of composing. You know, if it gets me writing, I'll take it. You know, I always enjoy it.
Sure, and that's obviously something that young composers should understand. You have to be able to do a lot of different things in order to make a living doing it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's excellent. So talk to us a little bit about your process. Since you're at home, do you work on a daily basis on composition?
Well, I try to write every day, and a lot of weeks it does happen. Especially when the kids are in school, so I can come home in the mornings and get a lot of writing done. But you know, as far as my process, so you know, I thought about this. What I used to do is I would really write, or I'd try to write from start to finish, and I would just work on one piece at a time. And I found that over the years that I couldn't keep up with everything that was going on in my mind. So now I find that I kind of jump all over the place, especially with working on a piece of music. You know, sometimes I'll write the ending first, and then I figure out, okay, how am I going to get to the ending? And at the same time, I might be thinking about a middle section of a completely different piece. And I'll do it all during the same session because I'll have a limited amount of time before I'll have, you know, other people around me.
Right.
Again. So I have a full-sized concert artist Kawaii piano keyboard in my living room that's connected to a computer. So I've found that I can write pretty quickly, kind of playing into I use Finale as my composition software. Right. And you know, I try to write every single day. It doesn't always happen, but you know, if I don't have other gigs or things going on or something that I have to practice, you know, sometimes I'll play for a pit orchestra for a musical around town, and I'll have to give up my composing to play through the book before I go into rehearsal that evening. So I'll have to push that out sometimes. But if anything like that isn't going on, I can usually get a good composing session in the morning. especially if I have a deadline. So I like writing in the morning. I feel like I'm really productive in the morning. But you know, sometimes if I've got something that I've really got to do, I'll get my kids from school and I'll sit them down and I can work with them running around and being noisy. And I've gotten really good at tuning them out. No pun intended there. and then when I was in college, I would mostly write in the evenings. You know, sometimes I would stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning writing.
Right.
And then I started teaching high school, and that had to change pretty quickly.
right.
I have to be ready at like 7:45 to teach. I'm like, okay, so 5 a.m. obviously isn't going to be a good time to go to sleep. And then having kids, you know, they wake up early, so I've got to go to bed so I can be ready for them. So,
right.
But I find I can be really, really productive in the evenings too. So it's nice, but I don't know if you do this or if you've heard any of your other composers do this, but on my phone, I use the voice memo app frequently. Yeah. And I've got all of these recordings of me singing melodies or just kind of talking through a piece or playing on the piano, something like I don't have time to really put it into Finale. So I'll just play this thing I'm working on and record it on my phone. But a lot of times I'll have one of my kids in the background either singing or yelling at me to stop doing what I'm doing. So it's really fun to listen back to that every time.
That's great. So you mentioned that you work on multiple projects at once, which to be honest is actually a little bit, I don't usually do that as a composer. So how do you find that the pieces don't end up coming out similar or do they?
It's, you know, that's a great question. I find that I can't work on multiple projects unless they're like for very different instrumentations, you know? So I probably won't work on two band pieces at the same time. If I'm working on more than one project, it'll be like a choral piece, maybe a handbell arrangement. So that's a totally different melody.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm doing an orchestration for something else. So I find, you know, if I'm working on two of the same instrumentations that, you know, that usually gets to be an issue for me. So when I'm working on multiple projects, they're usually for very different things. I have found that I've stolen from myself before by accident, and I don't particularly want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I certainly think we all end up having our own style, or I don't think we would be successful at all.
Sure.
So did Mozart.
Right.
You can figure out a Mozart piece pretty easily. So definitely has their own thumbprint. I think every composer does a good job certainly has their own style as well. So talk to us a little bit about, do you ever have issues with writer's block?
I have before. I don't so much now. I feel like I've found some ways to get over that hurdle. But
well, what would those be?
You know, well, I don't know if it works or not, I guess. But what I find myself doing is if I'm sitting and really stuck on something and I find myself, I'm just writing at the computer. I'll step away and I'll stick with just working on paper. And I'll step away from technology. If that doesn't work, I'll just work on an instrument by itself without any connectivity, without recording, without anything like that. And if that doesn't work, I'll go outside and I'll just sing. And you know, using my voice, I'll find different things that I wasn't able to find when I was on the on an instrument,
right,
on the computer. Eventually something emerges and then I'm able to figure out how to use that. And sometimes, you know, I just have to take a day or two to just not write. and come back to it. And a lot of times it'll be, okay, I've got a deadline. I've got to do this now, and I'll figure something out. Or if I write, you know, sometimes I'll write something down with the understanding that I don't have to keep this. I can get rid of it. So sometimes I'll have to write something down in order to find what I want to eventually use because I got the thing that I don't want out of the way. So I found that that's been helpful. Instead of, you know, I used to think, well, if I write it down, I have to keep it. And if it's bad, then I'm going to be sad about it. And, you know, I've just kind of, I've gotten over that.
Right.
Kind of, I guess.
Yeah. You learn how to edit and throw out a lot of stuff.
That's right. Yes. And be okay with that.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Now, does you talked about just going to different things and walking away? Does help? Is it helpful to listen to other people's music?
Oh, most definitely. Yes, I will listen to other music. I'll listen to music that has nothing to do with what I'm working on. A completely different instrumentation. You know, whether it be like from a soundtrack or even just like the radio, just listening to pop music or something, you know, that sometimes helps to flesh out what I'm working on, even if it might not be the greatest song. But it just kind of gets what I'm trying to work on out of my head, because it's clearly not something that I've written, just to kind of cleanse the palate, if you will.
Right. So you mentioned, obviously, when you were younger, you used to write late at night and not so much now. But has the way you compose changed over the years?
I think so, for sure. I used to be a long-winded composer, and I'd repeat a lot of stuff. Mm. And I've tried to reel that in, especially when I was a graduate student. We had a very well-known and respected composer come, and he listened to some of my stuff, and he said to me, you know, your music is really repetitive, but you don't do it well like the other minimalist guys. And I was like, I never really considered myself to be one of those minimalist composers, but you know, it's something that stuck with me. So I'm really, I try to be really careful if I'm going to repeat something, that it's not just simply putting up repeat bars, or if I have an ostinato pattern, that it's not literally copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. And I think I was doing that sometimes just to kind of fill in the music.
Right.
And, you know, I've tried to really think more about, okay, real people are going to be playing this, and they don't want to play the same thing over and over and over and over. I don't want to play the same thing over and over and over. So I found that it's been really, it was, you know, at the time I was pretty bummed about that being said to me.
That was a knife in the back, wasn't
it? That's right. But, you know, in the end, I guess it was a good thing to be told to me.
Well, I do think that sometimes we fall in the rut of using the program, whether it's Finale or Sibelius, and the ability of it to be almost like a word processor where you can copy and paste.
Oh, sure.
That becomes sort of an impediment to, you know, good composition, because it's really easy to take this whole, you know, 8 bars and copy and paste it, put it somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something that young composers have to look out for. A variety of music is important. Repetitiveness is important, but it doesn't have to be exact repetition, for sure. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice too, certainly for younger folks. So is there certain types of music that you're listening to right now that's sort of been inspiring to you?
Yeah, I've been listening to this kind of music for a long time. I'm a huge video game soundtrack guy.
Okay.
And I don't know. And you know, I started listening to soundtracks when it was just like 8-bit, 16-bit, you know, square waves. And, you know, now you've got these full orchestrated soundtracks. And I really think it's helped shape what and how I write, even though I've never written music for a video game. And I don't know that I necessarily want to. I mean, I'm sure if someone asked me, hey, will you write for this video game? I would take the job, but it's, you know, it's not something I've really sought to do. So there's a soundtrack I've been listening to now. It's a new game. It came out last summer called The Octopath Traveler. And it's got just these amazing melodies and orchestrations, and you know, they're all real live musicians recording, and these are full pieces of music. And yes, they do loop around, but it, you know, it's a good 2-3 minutes of music before it finds its way looping around. And I've found that as the years have gone by, composers have found really I guess sneaky ways to make the loops work. So it's not literally just start to finish, you know, they'll loop in certain parts of the piece, or it'll loop. And then the second time it loops, there's a different phrase at the end that wasn't there the first time. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's really, really amazing. And how that genre of music's evolved in the last 30 years is just mind blowing to me. And I think it's really fun to listen to that, and then to listen to other artists take those soundtracks and rework it for, like, I've heard rock bands play video game music. I've heard piano soloists do complete concert piano performances with video game melodies, and it's really neat. You know, my mom, she's not really into that kind of music, and I'll find a piece that kind of tricks her, like this beautiful piano solo. She's like, oh, what's this from? I'm like, oh, it's from like a Final Fantasy game for PlayStation. What are you talking about? And you know, it just kind of gets us out of, I think a lot of times when I tell people I listen to video games, they think I'm listening to Super Mario soundtrack.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what they think.
Yeah. And that's not all that there is.
Oh, and for sure.
And it's clearly a growing genre, and it's a great way for composers to have the ability to write a lot of great music, because, you know, the gaming industry is huge and there's a lot of music to be written.
And like you said, they're doing full orchestra.
Oh yeah,
you know, full soundtracks. You know, a la John Williams and
that's right.
Anybody else? So
absolutely.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, us as composers, we're trying to make a living doing that. And those composers may be, you know, folks that could be played by major orchestras, but they've gravitated toward somewhere where they can actually make a living.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, what we're all looking for sure.